So how would you rate the care at Wisconsin's Veterans Affairs hospitals and medical centers? We will give you an opportunity to talk about how you think healthcare for veterans can be improved as we talk about the town hall meetings that are taking place this month at VA hospitals in Wisconsin, including one tonight in Madison. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 23rd. The town hall meetings will be tonight in Madison at the Madison VA Hospital. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. There will be another town hall meeting in Toma at the Toma VA Medical Center on Thursday night. And there will be another a week from today at the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. We will talk about the efforts underway at the Madison VA Hospital, designed to reduce patient wait times. Plus, we invite your praises, maybe your complaints about VA care at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Tim Donovan is the Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what do you hope to achieve at the town hall meeting tonight?
Well, we hope to hear from our stakeholders, the veterans who receive care here, about the issues that concern them, to answer their questions and to update them on the progress we've made in reducing wait times here in Madison.
Yeah. So, how many veterans do you serve at the Madison VA Hospital?
We serve approximately 40,000 veterans, and we're the hospital with a responsibility for a primary service area that includes 15 counties in southern and southwestern Wisconsin and the northern tier of 5 counties in Illinois. So 40,000 veterans. But we also are the specialty care referral facility for other VA hospitals who can't provide the services that are available here in Madison. And a couple of our programs are national in scope. We're a heart, lung, and liver transplant facility, and we care for veterans from all 50 states.
Mm-hmm. All right, yes. And you are a spokesperson for the Madison VA Hospital only, yet there are town hall meetings in Toma and Milwaukee over the next couple of weeks as well. Is this a coordinated effort because of the problems that the national VA hospitals have experienced?
Well, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Secretary McDonald, directed all VA hospitals in the nation to conduct town hall meetings by the end of September. So we're having ours tonight, and I don't want to give your listeners the impression that we only listen to our veterans at town hall meetings. We listen to our veterans every day. We have lots of patient contact, obviously, in the clinics, and we also have a patient advocate team that listens to veterans, and veterans can let us know what they're concerned about and how they feel about us, and they do let us know these things every day. But tonight at the town hall meeting, we've created a formal process to allow veterans to get updates on hospital operations from us and to give them a chance to talk and us a chance to listen in a formal setting.
Yeah. So how would you best describe the state of the VA hospital in Madison?
We have a reputation among all the VA hospitals in the nation is among the nation's very finest. A couple of years ago, the Joint Commission, which is the agency, public agency or private agency that accredits hospitals, identified the Madison VA Hospital as a top performer on key quality measures. This is a really, really hard designation to get. And there are only 20 VA facilities in the nation, among 150 altogether. And we were one of only seven Wisconsin hospitals to earn that top performer distinction. So the Madison VA hospital is clearly a very special place that provides outstanding care to veterans. We're very proud of the work we do here on behalf of the veterans we serve.
Yet the Wisconsin State Journal obtained nearly 700 complaints over a two-year period about the timeliness of care that some veterans complained about at the Madison VA hospital, like long waits to get procedures or to begin treatments, calls not being returned. Why was timeliness such a problem?
Well, the key to providing services in a hospital and quite frankly in any service environment is to balance resources with demand for the service. And in the case of new patient primary care appointments, back in May when the first national data was released, Madison's average wait time for a new patient to get a primary care appointment was longer than we wished it to be. It was about 51 days. And that's because we had an unusually large influx of new patients enrolling for care at our hospital starting at about the first of the year, somewhere in the January timeframe of 2014. And on the other side of the supply-demand equation, we had some vacancies among our primary care providers. So the combination of higher than normal demand and a reduction in our resources that we've since fixed caused the wait times to be a little bit longer than we wanted them to be, longer than they should have been.
Yeah. So you have, though, reduced that wait time to 18 days. How did you manage that?
A couple of things contributed to that. First, we can't control the number of patients who are eligible to receive VA health care who come to us for that care. So that's a part of the equation that we have no control over. But what we do control, to the extent we can, is how efficiently our resources are applied to serve veterans. And we expanded clinical hours. We directed some providers who didn't have clinical responsibilities into the clinics to chip away at the wait times. And we filled vacancies. We did lose some primary care providers to retirements, to moving, to health issues, and those vacancies have now been filled, and we're down to 17 and a half days.
So, is that then acceptable? What is there a goal to make it even fewer days than that?
There was a kind of an unwritten goal of 14 days. Everybody acknowledges that was an unachievable goal. We'd like it to be as low as it can be and provide veterans with the care they have earned and expect from us, timely enough to be good care for them. But we're a government agency, and we have to be good stewards of resources, and what we do has to also be efficient. And we're doing the best we can, balancing our resources with the demands.
We're talking with Tim Donovan, Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison. The Madison VA Hospital will be holding a town hall meeting tonight. That's from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Madison VA Hospital to get testimony on how is the Madison VA Hospital performing. What do you think? Wisconsin's three Veterans Affairs hospitals will be holding these town hall meetings in an effort to improve care for vets. What do you think is needed to improve care for veterans at VA hospitals? How would you rate your experiences under VA care? We welcome your praises and your complaints at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think it would take to make VA hospitals and medical centers better? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin's three Veterans Affairs hospitals will be holding town hall meetings this month in efforts to improve care for veterans. We are talking this hour with a spokesperson from the Madison VA Hospital about some recent changes that happened, including those to designed to reduce patient wait times. There will be a town hall meeting at the Madison VA Hospital tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. We thought we would use the opportunity to tell you about the town hall meetings and to welcome your questions about VA care and to welcome your reviews, your critiques of VA care and what you think might be needed to better care for our veterans. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tim Donovan is the Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison. Well, we do have some callers and some comments, but I wanted to ask you first, Tim Donovan, you mentioned some of the changes that have taken place designed to reduce patient wait times, but other complaints in the audit were things like, waiting for many months for surgeries or like hip replacements. Is that going to change?
Well, we're making some progress on those issues as well. Just to give you one example, a couple of the areas in historically high demand here have been orthopedic surgery procedures and cataract surgery. And in fiscal year 2014 to date, the fiscal year begins in October, so we're almost through the entire fiscal year. So in the fiscal year just about to end, we performed 513 orthopedic surgery procedures here at our hospital. And for veterans, we couldn't get in soon enough or for other reasons. We purchased surgical procedures for them in the community in order to reduce the backlog. So we performed 513 orthopedic surgery procedures and purchased 185 others, and that has an effect on backlog. Another area, cataract surgery, we've done 293 here at the VA hospital, and then we purchased 78 cataract surgeries in the community for our veterans to reduce the wait time for these high-demand surgical procedures.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you purchased them in the community?
Well, when we are unable to perform a procedure as soon as it needs to be performed for the best care that the veteran expects and requires, we make arrangements for that veteran to have a procedure done outside our hospital. So we make the arrangements. They have the procedure done outside the VA, and we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting the care they need. It just isn't happening. It isn't physically happening here at our facility.
Yeah.
But it gets the job done.
Do VA hospitals, does the Madison VA hospital need more doctors?
Well, it's widely acknowledged that an increase in the number of providers at VA hospitals across the country would have a big impact on the timeliness of care and the access veterans have to receive the care that they require. Some numbers have been floating around nationwide of tens of thousands of additional providers. Sure, any hospital would be able to provide care sooner with more resources, including our hospital. But it's a complicated issue because you also need space and facilities and infrastructure for them. So you just can't hire 100 surgeons and not have exam rooms and offices and all of the infrastructure that's required to make the addition of 100 surgeons in my hypothetical example work. So sure, we could use additional providers, but we're kind of landlocked on a small lot here in Madison. We're, I think, on 6 acres, and it's pretty much all used up. So we don't have a lot of physical room to grow. So we're doing the best we can. We're creating some new exam rooms, though, by moving some administrative functions around the hospital, and we'll have some additional exam rooms here soon. Mm-hmm. But
so your office will be an exam room soon, Tim Donovan?
Well, I have left some space for my operation that other functions have moved into, and that opens up space for exam rooms. So I am actually contributing to that effort, yeah. But I'm not turning my office into an exam room. Okay.
Let's go to the phones. Dale in Kimberly is with us. Hello, Dale.
Hello. Yes, and I was just curious in terms of that 51-day wait time that they had at the VA hospital, how does that compare to what people see with their normal primary care physicians in the public or private sector?
Yeah, does the private sector have shorter wait times for, you know, appointments and surgeries?
Well, in some cases, I'm sure they do, but in other cases, I'm sure they don't. I do recall as this issue was first popping into the public consciousness back in the spring, reading about Boston, which arguably has more healthcare providers per capita than any metropolitan area in the U.S., and their wait times for a new patient primary care appointment were in the 60-plus day range. I don't know if that's true, but it was reported in some credible news accounts, so I'm guessing it was. We should point out that a new patient primary care appointment is a little bit different than an existing patient primary care appointment, because a new patient requires an hour long appointment, and an existing patient, I'm also a patient here at the hospital, and when I see a primary care provider, I don't need an hour. So it does create a lot of demand on fixed resources, and initial new patient primary care appointments have an even greater demand on resources than seeing an existing patient.
All right, Dale.
Yeah, and I just know that I've always heard like 90 days is kind of your normal when I go see a primary care physician. So to me, 51 days seemed pretty good. So.
And Dale, it's even better now. It's 17 and a half.
Yeah. Let's go next to Chuck in Appleton. Hello, Chuck. Oop. Chuck. Oh, boy. We have some feedback and no Chuck. So I guess he wanted to know, especially any kind of care that you might provide for soldiers with PTSD.
Well, we do provide a lot of mental health services here at the hospital. Mental health is a big deal for the VA. We see patients ranging in age from their 90s to their 20s with mental health issues. They're not just from Iraq and Afghanistan, but they include veterans from the Korean War era, World War II,
this particular veteran, and I'm sorry that we had problems with our phone connection, was saying that maybe it was especially support services were only offered from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and thought the hours were too limited and wondered if the hours might be extended.
I can't answer that. I just don't know. But I do know that we have expanded. We do provide some expanded services into the late afternoon and evenings, but they might not be what your caller has in mind. But I do know that there are groups that meet here in what would be considered off hours. But I can't answer the specific question.
We are talking with Tim Donovan, Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the Madison VA Hospital. There will be a town hall meeting tonight at the Madison VA Hospital from 6 until 8 p.m. It's a part of an effort to get feedback from veterans and their families about experiences that they have had at the VA medical centers and hospitals in Wisconsin. So tonight in Madison, Thursday in Toma at the VA Medical Center in Toma, and next Tuesday, September 30th, at the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. We welcome your experiences at VA hospitals in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. Our guest is the Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison, Tim Donovan. And let me correct the time of the town hall meeting at the Madison VA Hospital tonight. It is from 6 until 7:30 tonight. Right, Tim Donovan? Oops, I guess we have to get you on the air. So the time of the town hall and what people should know, Tim Donovan?
Well, the town hall will be from 6, and we expect it to last about 90 minutes, so from 6 to about 7:30.
Mm-hmm. And if people can't attend tonight, is there any way to provide input?
Well, we are always willing to listen to our veterans, people with questions, concerns, comments, people who want to let us know about the quality of the care they've received, either good or bad, can always contact our patient advocates, and they do every day. So we don't need a town hall meeting to listen to our veterans, because we do hear from them on a daily basis, many times a day, both good and bad and everything in between. But the town hall meeting is an organized effort to bring veterans all together in one place and hear from our entire executive leadership team. We'll all be present, along with other staff experts in various functions here at the hospital.
Yeah. Alicia on Facebook says, "This is so sad. I see this firsthand when I go along with my husband. They need to stop pushing money and giving bonuses to higher-ups and put money into the people who do the real work. Also, opening up to veterans being able to go anywhere for care will help. One more issue is that none of the VA centers talk to each other. If you go to one place and then try to be seen at another, your file isn't easily accessible." Well, lots of stuff there, and we don't know exactly where Alicia's from, but maybe you can address, do the VA hospitals in Wisconsin talk to each other?
Sure we do. Absolutely. We deal with our other VA hospitals on a daily basis, and they with us. Madison, for example, provides services that are not available at other VA facilities. So veterans from, just for example, Toma may come to Madison and do on a daily basis every day. There are Toma patients here for specialty care that we can provide that their local hospital can't. Similarly, there are some things that we don't do here in Madison that are done in Milwaukee. So we send patients from Madison to Milwaukee for services that we're just not able to provide. An example is radiation therapy. We don't have that capability here at Madison yet. We're in the process of getting it, but right now we're having to send our patients out. So we can't do that without talking to them, and we talk to them, we share information, and it works pretty well. So I don't know what kind of experience the questioner had, but I can tell you that we do talk to each other. We couldn't do business without doing that.
Yeah. She made another point about opening the system up to for veterans to go anywhere they need, and we have a similar caller, Patrick in La Crosse. So let's bring Patrick on. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So my question being is just because I grew up in Minneapolis by the VA out there, and my grandfather was ill. He was having a little bit of chest pain. He's a veteran, you know, with VA benefits. It was a very long wait to get to the hospital. And that's, I think, pretty much always been the case because there's such a heavy workload. He went somewhere else, even though it costs him money. You know, he took on the financial burden because he had to for his family. And to me, you know, people are throwing these darts at the VA system and doing these kinds of things. But when do you take the personal responsibility to say, I'm willing to take on that financial burden because something serious is going on? So I guess the question being is that, is there, like she said, is there a reimbursement program or could there be a reimbursement program for serious illness? And, you know, have you seen this trend a lot where people who have had serious health complications are waiting long periods of time instead of going outside for help?
Sure, I can talk about that. There is an initiative as part of the law signed by the president, I believe in August, that will allow, we still have to figure out the details, but the law will allow the VA to pay for care for veterans who need care before it can be provided by their VA hospital, or for veterans who reside 40 miles from the VA facility. Now, what happens when a law is passed and signed into law by the president is regulations need to be promulgated, and that's going on right now. It doesn't happen instantly. So there are people right now working on how to implement the law, but a couple of the key provisions are to allow the VA to pay for care that it can't provide either in a timely enough manner or care for veterans who just live too far away from a VA hospital. There aren't too many veterans who live outside of 40 miles from a VA facility in our primary service area. There are just a couple of little pockets of veterans, I think primarily in southwestern Wisconsin, who are a little bit farther than 40 miles. But that's coming.
Okay.
Now, is that going to? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask if that was going to be retroactive. I mean, is there going to be a reimbursement then to people who have searched that out? But I mean, I guess it's too fresh in the law to maybe know that yet.
Well, I certainly don't know, and I'm not comfortable guessing, so I won't. But this is all real new. This law just passed, I think, 5-6 weeks ago, and people are now figuring out how to implement the provisions of the law. That's what's going on now.
Nassar in Milwaukee couldn't stay on the line but wanted to know more details. Without an increase in resources, how has the VA hospital in Madison been able to reduce the wait time from 51 days to now 17 and a half? Has the time the doctor spends with a patient been reduced?
No, the quality of care and the quality of patient contacts hasn't been adversely affected at all. We're simply expanding clinic hours, filling vacancies, and moving, and we have moved. This initiative may have been completed, but I know that some providers who didn't have clinical responsibilities took them on in order to chip away at the wait times. But this will have no effect on the quality of patient contacts here at the hospital.
Back to the phones. Kent in Appleton is with us. Hi, Kent.
Well, hi there. Yeah, I don't have pressing needs, but I go to the Appleton Clinic, and they've been very, very good. A lot of proactive heading things off and timely. Everything has been very good. I just think the VA system would be a good system to have everywhere. I just think I've never gotten such good care.
Well, that's good to know. So it's nice to hear sometimes that someone's getting a timely care and good care of Tim Donovan, but maybe we hear about the negative more than the positive?
Well, we hear compliments like that every day. It was reported in a Wisconsin State Journal article over the weekend that we received, I think it was 700 complaints about the timeliness of care and some other complaints about other things. But for every complaint we receive, we probably receive a compliment or two or three. So we do hear them all of the time. They are good to hear. So I appreciate the caller from Appleton. The Appleton VA clinic is not part of our hospital's operations, but it's part of Milwaukee's. But we're all in this together, and it's great to hear that Appleton is providing good care, as our clinics do here in Madison. I should tell you, too, if you don't know, in addition to the main hospital in Madison, we also have community-based outpatient clinics. We have them in Janesville, Beaver Dam, Baraboo, and also in Rockford and Freeport, Illinois. So it's not just the hospital here in Madison, but our hospital includes these clinics that reach into communities to put the care closer to where some of our veterans live.
Oh, yeah. And you may not know the answer to this, but we did have a caller who wondered if there might be an effort to, if not expand VA hospitals in Wisconsin, maybe those community clinics, so vets don't have to travel so far to get care.
Well, the clinics have taken care closer to where the veterans live. Of course, they're not everywhere and can't be everywhere and won't be everywhere, but they are where they currently are, these five communities, in two in northern Illinois and three in Wisconsin. But another way we can reduce the veterans' need to travel is to provide telehealth services from our community-based clinics. So a veteran in, let's say, Freeport, Illinois, can come into the Freeport clinic and have an audiology exam with a provider here in Madison, and it's effective, first-class care, just as if the provider were right in the room with the veteran, but it's done using telehealth technology, and it does it's yet another way to bring care closer to where veterans live.
Let's go next to Rick in Roscoe, Illinois. Hi, Rick.
It's Greg, but you can call me Rick.
I'm sorry, say your name again.
My name is Greg, but you can call me Rick.
I'll call you Greg. It's just that the telephone line is a little fuzzy, so my producer thought you said Rick. So go ahead.
I know, just messing around. Listen, I've been going to the VA Madison Hospital since 2002. I go to the Rockford Clinic for minor things, but if I have anything major, I go to the VA Hospital of Madison. I've never had any trouble. I recently had an angiogram, and I can't tell you the kind of care that I got. I've never had one. I've never had to wait longer than I thought was reasonable. I've always been, the doctors will check in with me after, see how I'm doing. So maybe I'm just lucky. Exception to the rule, I don't know. But I've been going there for a long time, and I can't say enough good about it.
Thank you very much, Rick. So there's one of those.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, Greg, not Rick. All right, let's go to Helen and Mountain next. Hello, Helen.
Well, I think that we're all feeling good today because we, too, have worked with the VA for about 10 years. My husband was in Vietnam. He had to have prostate surgery because of being dusted with Agent Orange. And really, I cannot say enough good. And I think that what's going on here is that the media really likes to hype up the negative. And so that's exactly why I'm calling, because we've been to Milwaukee. We live in a mountain area, but we come down to Green Bay to the clinic. We actually see Dr. Sundlis tomorrow for our yearly checkup. And we really have had a wonderful, wonderful experience. So thank you very much for all that you do.
All right. Tim, do you think that the media hypes the negative, and or is this, was this a warranted exercise?
Well, I used to be in the I used to be on the other side of the media from where I sit now, and I think there's a little bit of a natural inclination to do that. But I'm not complaining about the media at all. There were clearly some problems in Phoenix. Those problems are not disputed by anybody, and they were appropriately supported by the media. The media is taking a look at us here in Madison, and we're happy to provide information to the media anytime. And if we're doing a good job, we expect it'll be reported. And if we're not doing as good a job as we should do or could do, we expect that'll be reported too. And that's all fair.
Yeah. So what is it? Is there something that the Madison VA Hospital is planning to do? Is doing right now in order to improve service to veterans?
Well, everything we do is a service to, literally everything we do is a service to veterans.
I just meant, are you doing, is there any kind of fix or reform underway to improve that service?
Well, we may get some ideas tonight. I can't predict what will happen tonight, but somebody might walk into our town hall meeting and tell us something we'd never thought of. And that's one of the values of listening to veterans. So this is a chance for them to talk and for us to listen, and maybe we'll learn some things tonight that will improve our the quality of our care. We see 40,000 veterans, as I told you as we began the program, Joy. But those 40,000 veterans have 400,000 appointments, and that doesn't count the surgical procedures and ambulatory surgery and procedures like X-rays and MRIs. So we're having about 500,000 touches of veterans every year here, and we think it's significant to note that with all of those contacts with veterans day in, day out, that only a very, very small percentage of people have filed any complaints, and some of the complaints are really just more questions or comments than complaints as well. So we think we're doing a pretty good job. Could we improve? Every organization can improve, and I'm sure we could too. But we do the best we can, and we're looking forward to hearing from our veterans tonight.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Joy.
Tim Donovan, Chief of Public Affairs and Community Relations at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison. The town hall meeting at the Madison VA Hospital is tonight from 6 until 7:30. There will be another town hall at the Toma VA Medical Center on Thursday. The time I have here is 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursday. And there will be another a week from today, next Tuesday, at the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. I have from 6 until 8, but perhaps it'll be from 6 until 7:30. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Brianne Chasso, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. We are going to allow you to sound off coming up in just a moment. We are going to have a This Just In segment and give you an opportunity to react to the news that the United States and Arab allies have bombed Syria for the first time as the start of a stepped-up military action against the Islamic State, or ISIS. So do you support this aspect of this fight against the group that calls itself the Islamic State? Is this too much or too little? How big a threat do you believe this group is, ISIS? How worried are you? Do you support the military strikes in Syria? 1-800-642-1234. An opportunity for you to sound off on this breaking news. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Now it's time for an occasional special segment on this program. We call it This Just In, and we give you an opportunity to react to breaking news. We want you to react to the United States bombing Syria for the first time last night as the start of a stepped-up military action against the Islamic State. What do you think of this? Is this do you support this effort or not? Jerry in Menasha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, I think this is just a matter of welcome to World War III. This is a continuation of the invasion of Iraq in another way, and we'll be there forever. It's going to continue to destroy our people, their people, one way or another, and keep draining our treasury. So it's just this whole business all over again. I oppose it completely.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Jim on Facebook says, three murders happen to Americans across the world, and we start spending billions to go to war. But there are murders all over the United States in big cities, right in our neighborhoods, and no one seems to care. Don't get me wrong, every life is important, but we don't need to go across the world to try to fix things we can't even fix in our own country. Greg in Milwaukee. Hello, Greg.
Hello. I'm in favor of the war against ISIS. When I see them take young men and fathers and kneel them down and sever their heads off, and then you see a young Australian a boy holding a severed head up. To me, this is so heinous that how would you like it if something like this happened in the United States? I mean, it would be horrendous. And they're just as alive as we are. They're just as human as we are. We can't allow this to happen. This is just disgusting.
Thank you very much, Greg. Cliff in Appleton is with us. Hello, Cliff.
Good morning. I have mixed feelings. On one hand, when people threaten to kill Americans just for being Americans, we need to defend ourselves. And the things that they can do in the way of terrorism are substantial, targeting any citizen. On the other hand, I wonder if we had not invaded Iraq when George Bush invaded and looking for oil, essentially, that strategies to get oil, I wonder if things would be as bad as they are now. I wonder if when President Obama came in, if he had tried to hold Cheney and Bush accountable for their crimes against humanity, if the situation would be any different. So I do feel we need to defend ourselves, but I feel that we've made enemies by our unjust pursuit of oil in Iraq.
Thank you, Cliff. Darlene on Facebook says, we, the U.S., can't ignore the ISIS threat simply because they are over there. We must become vigilant and ensure safety for mankind with other nations to additionally help, not unilaterally, but multilaterally. Yes, we're war weary, but this is a spreading cancer that must be cauterized. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to continue this discussion. The threat of ISIS and whether we support the efforts to fight ISIS in our big question tomorrow morning between 7 and 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.